Tonight on SmackDown Live AfterBuzz TV After Show, Team SmackDown takes shape. Things get stranger in the rage of Sankara. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Happy Rusev Day. As we go live.
So are there multiple Rusev days?
The buzz of TV on the Tube of You. Where you can listen on tunes of eye and clouds of sound. Welcome, everybody. I am Christian Rosenberg, Deputy Dango. Follow me at Ro Rosenberg. Instagram, the Ro Rosenberg. ProSNTs.com/Christian Rosenberg. To get a beautiful shirt. If you don't, I have handcuffs right here. They will be used. We have a superstar panel here. You could almost say like we're talking some smack. Over to stage left, we have the commissioner of SmackDown, Shane McTomicom.
Yes, I'm here. I flew all the way here after the show.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Thankfully, you always leave the shows early, so you're able to make it.
Of course. Why would I stay long?
Yes.
I got things to do.
That's right.
I'm a busy person. I got to go to Raw next week, so.
And over next to you, I do have to say, Gabby Loren, your costume of Steve Kaufman is fantastic.
Isn't it, though?
Like, it's lifelike.
I'm Steve Kaufman. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That's K-A-U-F-M-A.
I was like, that doesn't sound like
I stuck with that for like.
You didn't stick with it as long as I stuck with mine. And I'm like destroying my throat.
I thought for sure you were going to stick with it forever.
Yeah,
I can. I will try. But I think people will start going out. Happy Rusev Day, everybody, aka
Happy
Halloween.
Rusev Day. No, it's Rusev Day.
Oh, that's right.
I don't know what Halloween is.
So, we are here to break down SmackDown Live for you on All Hallows Eve. Tell you what, Survivor Series, I'm looking forward to a Team SmackDown looking dominant.
I've been working out.
I can tell you're as we found out tonight, you are our captain.
Yeah, you know, I got to step up because, you know, the guy, you know, with a broken freaking neck is trying to take my spotlight. That ain't going to happen, so.
He's an Olympic zero. That's what I see. That's my math. And Monostride in the chat, they've already made a Mall Cop 2. It would probably be Mall Cop 3 starring me. But I appreciate the leading role.
AJ0314 in the chat. I do think he looks like PC Principal.
I'm down with that. I'm cool with that.
Seriously, bro.
I'm cool with that.
Bro, you consent for him, bro?
And some people want me to stick with that voice the entire recap. I'll pop in from time to time. My throat can only do so much. Let's kick off the show. We have our commissioner. So, Mr. McMahon, yeah. we'll have you break this segment down as far as what you meant by everything that you said.
Gotcha.
But, you know,
you tell me what I said and I'll tell you what it means.
Well, the big question was, why does SmackDown lay siege to Raw? You said that Raw has always looked at SmackDown as the inferior brand. What can we do to change this perception? We had half the picks that Raw did at the draft, but we got Daniel Bryan as a GM. We went live, and then we started having fun and made this the land of opportunity. And the best way to make a statement was to go under siege. And then this past Monday on Raw, Daniel Bryan was beat up by his former tag partner. But where was Angle and Stephanie then?
Not paying attention.
That's right. So you said, and I quote, I quote the man sitting to stage left. Angle, you bring your gold medal and your monster, a.k.a. Braun Strowman. You will meet Randy Orton, three of SmackDown's finest. And as of right now, yours truly.
Do I really have to wrestle again?
Well, you said as of right now.
Yeah.
I think that's the key words there. I don't think Shane's wrestling in Survivor Series.
I mean, what I kind of think is going to happen is I feel like we're going to get someone to defect from Raw to SmackDown. Maybe. I don't know if it's going to happen during the night or like
in the
before.
Middle of the match.
I feel like there's got to be some other kind of surprise going into this. Like, it can't just be like, oh, Shane, Shane Orton, Nakamura and Bobby Roode.
And well, now you're spoiling things to happen in the rest of the show. I guess we'll wrap things up. Have a good night, everybody. Thanks for the show. You can hit the music, Steve. We're out of here. Good night. Come on, Kamish.
Listen, I'm just telling them what happened. Got the speed,
people won't tune in if you just spoil it.
Yes, they will.
They look what happened to WCW. You watched Sold Out the other night.
That'll put some butts in the seats.
Oh, man. Sold Out. So, if you guys have not watched it, please do yourself the...
displeasure.
Yeah, like, oh, my gosh. That is NWO segment.
Oh. I was really close to having us have a watch-along. I think I was mentioning it weeks ago that, like, having us do a watch-along here that was... We have the fans pick a Halloween Havoc and then have us all sit here and just eat candy and watch... The Halloween Havoc they chose, probably the one with Abdullah getting electrocuted.
The greatest one.
That's obviously the greatest Halloween Havoc.
Oh, man. But yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's probably a crazy thought out of left field, but I feel like as of right now, is a huge foreshadowing that Raw's going to attack SmackDown, the last SmackDown before Survivor Series. And they're going to injure Shane and one of the other, maybe Orton or one of the other members. And Owens and Zayn will get in thanks to Daniel Bryan.
Sure.
Even though Daniel Bryan doesn't like them either, though.
Well, Daniel Bryan had that moment with them last week. That moment in the ring where they were just like, hey, you've turned into what you hated.
Yeah.
And now he's going to be, no, I'm going to show you I'm a cool hip guy.
Okay. I get what you're saying. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you get it? I
get it now, yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Well, when's Daniel Bryan coming back? I heard the report today that he's, you know, got chokeslam in the dark, so that's worse than getting chokeslam with the lights on, so I think he's out for till January.
Darkness feels no pain. So Daniel Bryan felt nothing because it was in the dark.
But he got stretched out.
That's just science.
I don't think they really made that big of a deal about it tonight, though.
No, they just touched on it at the beginning of the show. Hey, isn't it a big deal that your GM is in the hospital?
Yeah.
I mean, like, when Shane got hurt at Hell in a Cell, that was the talk of the entire show.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan gets chokeslammed by Kane on Raw, gets stretchered out. Shane mentions him at the beginning.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So weird.
I don't get it.
AJ in the chat says, get a new GM for SmackDown Live already. I'm available.
No.
Only if it's me.
Well, you have the commissioner right next to you. This is your time to pitch.
Who does he think like that we should get?
AJ0314 in the chat, you've been called out as get a new GM for SmackDown Live already.
What's wrong with Daniel Bryan?
They want to know who... Shane McMahon would like to know who is the replacement. It could be me. Just throwing it out there. You seem to have power in this dynamic. Could be me. And now we wait.
Well, I can tell you are a master of disguise, Gabby.
I know, right?
You know it's really Scott, though.
What? Wait. Is a Scott impersonating Gabby who's dressed up as Steve?
Yeah.
Mind blown. Well done. In about 10 minutes, we'll find out it's actually X-Pac under there. I don't know why I did that. Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler. 2 out of 3 falls match. The live crowd wouldn't know that because the ring announcer just said it's scheduled for 1 fall.
Mm.
This was interesting. Because, and chat roll, please correct me if I'm wrong. But I don't remember last week or any time up until maybe the halfway point of this match did they say the winner of this match will be on Team SmackDown. They kept implicating that whoever wins this will make a great case for themselves to be on Team SmackDown. But they never said, winner of this match is going to be on Team SmackDown. Until about halfway through, then all of a sudden they say, who's going to be on Team SmackDown at Survivor Series? We're like, what? Okay, so it's like official now?
To be fair, a qualifying match verbally doesn't really conclude anything. Because a qualifying match could mean, great, all of these people qualify, and now we choose the 5 we want. They could have had a billion qualifying matches.
Right, and then Shane could be like, no, I like these guys instead.
I would have, if it were me, I would have had a qualifying match on the South American tour. I would have had a qualifying match on a Friday house show. I would have had a lot of qualifying matches.
That would have been cool to have qualifying matches at live events. Mm-hmm. That would be cool.
And, like, the qualifying matches and then the matches you see on TV are still important. But the qualifying matches, like, Bobby Roode got here by taking down a local talent in Spokane, Washington.
Mm-hmm. All right, just saying in the chat room. See, I saw... We didn't find out till last night on Raw that during one of the commercials. I definitely saw yesterday that they announced that whoever won
these
matches...
during Raw?
Yeah, both these matches.
That doesn't count.
What do you mean it doesn't count?
That's not during the show.
Either or.
Yeah.
They lied. Well,
listen, we knew we probably knew when they announced it last week, whoever's going to win this is going to be on Team SmackDown.
Well, this was easily their best match of their feud. Mm. I really enjoyed this match. Ziggler got the first fall with a super kick. Bobby Roode, if you walked away from your TV during the commercial break when you can't hear anything, you would have missed a second fall.
Or if you were watching on not on USA, like something like Sky Sports, you would have not seen it at all.
And then he'd come back from commercial and like, by the way, Bobby Roode tied it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's the way I saw it.
That was interesting.
I was like, oh, okay.
It was... Because normally during that part, I typically on the DVR will fast forward because usually like they know it's in commercial, so there's just a lot of rest holds, and obviously we're not hearing the commentary during it. So then get through it, and then we're back on. So then I continue watching with phenomenal last like 7-8 minutes of this match, which I thought was all building up to the second fall, and I was so excited. I'm like, they're doing all this for the second fall. This is great. This is different. I like it. It's fresh. Roode hits the glorious DDT, and they announce him as the winner. I'm like, what? What do you mean he's the winner? Wait, where is the second fall? I had to rewind and realize it happened in the commercial. Why did they do that?
I don't know. It's a weird thing to do.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. You know, you're trying to keep the live crowd into it, but... Like, they could have easily gotten that fall the second he came back from commercial break.
That feels intentional. That feels like when they time out. Because when they timed out the show, I don't think anyone said, like, well, when should the third... We should make sure the third fall doesn't happen during that commercial break.
You mean a second?
Sorry, the second? That would be...
You better hope the third doesn't happen during commercial break.
But I'm sure that's someone's job, and I'm sure they try as they might. But I think when you're booking a match with three falls... It's way harder. It's way harder to time out each fall. Yeah, this just kind of get lost in the cracks.
But I also feel that they time the show down to, like, Chrisley knows best. We all know starts at 10 p.m.
That's right. We all know he knows best.
And thank God they're moving to Thursday. So let's see what happens to SmackDown after that. Because I saw a lot of commercials for that tonight. So maybe SmackDown can go a little longer each week. I don't know what they're doing with that. But I just think they time it out to where, like, I'm surprised they did that, but. I don't know. It was a weird way to do it.
Also, I'm confused. Does Hogan no longer know best?
No.
No, he's second best. Yeah.
Hogan knows second best to Chrisley? I watched that show.
Todd took a spot.
Everyone bows before Chrisley. Everyone bows before Chrisley. That's a rule. After the match, Renee's in the ring with Bobby Roode, and he talks about how he hopes the other two men on Team SmackDown share the same compassion, passion... And competitiveness. All right. I'm happy Bobby Roode's getting this spotlight on him. I mean, he's going to be in the main event of Survivor Series now.
Is the thumb up, thumb down thing like a new thing for him now?
I don't know if that was for him or is that just for a team SmackDown Under Siege type thing. Because he brought up the hashtag Under Siege again. Mm-hmm. They really want the guy trending. They really want Under Siege trending.
It worked the first time when it was said twice.
Yes.
This is what WWE does. This is Fandango all over again.
Well, did you guys know that Survivor Series is the only pay-per-view where Raw and SmackDown go head-to-head?
Other than the Royal Rumble match and a couple WrestleMania matches. And if we have bragging rights.
And that time AJ Styles came over to TLC.
And Raw.
And Raw 25, and any other time we feel like making Raw fight SmackDown.
WWE old schools.
Or WWE 2K18. All those
things. Be like no one.
That's
what the commercials say.
Mm-hmm. Under Siege, starring Steven Seagal and Gary Busey. That's AJ. I can't take
it. Okay, but hold up everything, because I need my Christian's Closet music right now.
Damn.
That's right. because the New Day took Halloween to an entirely new level. Oh, dear God, this was incredible. Big E is Akeem, the African Dream. Xavier Woods is the Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. And Kofi. I expected this out of Xavier, but Kofi busting out Brother Love, red face paint and all. Bravo. Everyone under the age of 20 had no idea who they were. But we're all over the age of 20.
I love this.
Yeah.
Oh, this was so, so good.
The voices, everything.
Yes.
Xavier Woods is so good.
Xavier nailed Jimmy Hart. He, like, he, you know this last week, he's been studying. That's what, I mean, he's working on his PhD and all that, so he knows how to study.
Yeah.
I don't, maybe it's because I'm predisposed to just doing a southern accent, but a Jimmy Hart seems like the easiest.
Well, then go ahead and do it.
It's a southern accent right up here, brother.
That ain't Jimmy Hart.
It was kind of good, though.
Hey, buddy, I'm going to let you hold
my... you got to get the voice, like, the I'm going to let you hold the microphone.
I'm going to let you hold the megaphone, brother. It's somewhere between Bruce Pritchard's Jim Cornette.
Now I'm convinced that's Hobo dressed as Steve Kaufman, because that's as high as Hobo can get his voice.
You got me.
What the hell was that?
That was my hobo. I've not worked on that at all.
No, you haven't. No. So they're interrupted by Rusev and in English. And Rusev is very angry that they're celebrating a stupid holiday for dumb children. And he's like, Raw could be outside and you're joking around. You might be giving candy to spies.
Yes, that was good.
There's only one day that matters now. It's Rusev Day. Rusev then takes their giant bucket of candy, dumps it on the ground, and proceeds to stomp it. And then Big E gets angry, and I feel like he won a bet with somebody as to how many times he could use the word sucka during this little interaction. Because he said it at least 7 or 8 times. And he challenged Rusev to a match later tonight. Awesome segment by everyone involved. Rusev was great. English was great. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the New Day in their costumes was fantastic.
Yeah. I thought it was so much. It was so much fun and just a good way to set up a match for later in the night.
Yeah.
Did you not like that he was talking about spies? Or
I thought that was silly. Contextually,
Rusev thought that was is silly. Paranoid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it makes
sense. The Bulgarian, who also used to be in Russian, talking about spies with Raw. It works on many levels. Mm-hmm.
But also, like, the watching at least Raw last night compared to SmackDown tonight, like, Raw, they was like, we got security here, we don't know what's going to happen, blah, blah, blah. SmackDown was just like, it's a regular show, we don't care.
Well, they also knew that Raw flew to the UK today.
Yeah, but come on, we don't... Listen, I don't tell everybody that. I got to keep these guys on alert backstage.
You're the commissioner. All you do is send out cryptic tweets, pop on the beginning of the show... And leave about halfway through.
Yeah.
That's your job.
Well, you know.
I know, but I got to keep their guard up. If I leave halfway through the show and there's an attack, like, who knows? Maybe not everybody went to Europe.
And if you're like Stephanie McMahon, you don't even show up to every show.
Yeah. You don't show up for 8 months.
You let Kurt Angle run the whole show.
You let Kurt Angle run about 5 months of shows.
I think somebody tweeted that yesterday. That it's like Stephanie McMahon showing up is the equivalent to someone going out on maternity leave and then just coming back and be like, why hasn't anything been done? Because you left. There's no one to tell us to do it.
It was a good way to bring her at least back into the fold. Like,
yeah.
This was a good reason of being like, hey, you know, I think you're doing a good job. I'm glad she's not on TV every week.
Yeah.
And I don't think Shane needs to be on TV every week either. Like, this is kind of different now if he's going to be in a match, but... You know, Daniel Bryan's fine running it.
Well, we got to make sure Daniel Bryan's okay.
Yeah, I know.
Shane.
I'll check on him later.
He's your right-hand man.
We'll get around to it.
Becky's backstage with the rest of the women, since she's the captain of Team SmackDown. She's like, what we did on Raw was just a preview. We need to stand together tonight. James Ellsworth is dressed as a dog.
Of course.
Of course.
Only one dressed up.
Only one in costume. Natalya comes out. And she's like, I'll be too busy defending the honor of my championship against Alexa. And Becky, here's the thing about teams, there's always a weak link. And what you need to ask yourself is, who is that weak link?
Lana.
Well, Lana's not on the team.
Tamina.
She's technically on the team.
She's first eliminated.
But Natalya was really emphasizing it to Charlotte.
Which is weird.
That makes no sense. Because
they're trying to continue setting up
a team. Oh, that feud, yeah. Okay.
But by the way, this was the only women's segment of the entire show. So yeah. I guess one question I have is, why were they all in gear?
Got to be ready.
Yeah.
Ready for the fight. What do you mean?
I don't know. I haven't seen 205 Live. Maybe they were on 205 Live.
I doubt that.
I hope not.
Maybe they threw yes, 10 of those yes, guys in the one match. They were out of time.
I think just about all of them fit in that weight class, but I don't think they'd be on that show.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why they didn't do anything else with them tonight, though. Like, nothing. There wasn't that much going on in the show.
You could have shot that last week. Match.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Could have shot that last week. Saved so much on airfare. So much on hotels. So much on catering. Let all those girls just not show up to TV. Like, I mean, this would not have been the week to tell all of the entire SmackDown women's division to not show up for TV. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it would have been a good cost cutting.
I'm sure they had a match before the show.
If they're cutting costs like Pyro, maybe not fly out the SmackDown's women division if you're not going to have the women's division on the show.
There's going to be an uproar of you suggesting that they don't fly out the women's division, you realize.
It's dual-sided.
Mark Donica, why would you say that while dressed up as Steve Kaufman?
Sorry.
All right, that was pretty much a Mark
Donica.
And you
hate NXT? Right? What?
Why would you say such a thing? That is awful. Shame on you.
Are you going to write the fake news article that's... AfterBuzz TV host Mark Donica hates NXT, thinks the SmackDown women's division shouldn't exist, and he thinks Rusev Day only happens once a year.
I don't need to write anything. You, Mark Donica, just verbally said it. Pro Wrestling Sheet's going to cover it right now.
I'll text Ryan now.
Yep. Baron Corbin versus the Wrath of Sin Cara. So tonight's episode involved Baron Corbin playing a game of let's rip the mask off the luchador, because we haven't had that since... They did it to Grand Metalik a couple weeks ago.
Or since I think Ziggler tried to do it to Sin Cara a couple weeks ago, too. Didn't he?
When did Ziggler wrestle Sin Cara? That was a while ago.
When he first became heel, I guess. So.
Yeah, but...
And this has happened to Kalisto in the past, too.
Yeah.
The mask stuff. The mask stuff is not
I mean, it's a classic go-to in these situations, where when told right, it feels effective. This one just felt a little forced because they've wrestled now 3 weeks in a row, and this is the first time Corbin's actually been trying to do something to the mask. If he kind of teased it each week, that would be something. Mm-hmm. But so Sin Cara just gets pissed, and they brawl outside the ring. Sin Cara, for the third consecutive week, takes out Baron Corbin.
What's happening?
Double count out. Ref throws this match out. Corbin runs away from Sin Cara. I repeat, Baron Corbin, the lone wolf, the United States champion, the guy who's supposedly not afraid of anybody, wants to wrestle Cena, AJ, Nakamura, all of them, runs away from Sin Cara. Why?
Shane, why?
Well... You know, he is like a lone wolf, so he, you know, doesn't have a pack. Sin Cara still has Kalisto, and he is on 205 Live, so he's in the building. I don't know. This is really... I don't get it. I don't get how they're making Baron Corbin look good at all, having to go against The Miz.
Like, leading up to his match with Miz. Yeah, he's looking terrible.
And did anybody see that tweet The Miz put out?
Promo? Oh, my God, did he put him in his place.
Yeah. I mean, I want Miz better win that match. I'll be really mad if Corbin beats him, because Miz deserves to win that match already. I don't know. We were talking before. I was like, Sin Cara is like Jinder Mahal 2.0, like a guy coming out of nowhere.
Now everyone's going to be angry at you for saying that.
Who cares? I'm the commish. I can say whatever I want.
Commissioner Shane McMahon on Talking Smack was for some reason not on the WWE Network said.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird though. I don't understand the whole storyline. I mean, hey, if they're pushing him, push him, whatever. I mean, at least he's doing something with the guy. He's not sitting in the back.
And these last few weeks, he has done well.
Yeah,
I will say that. And we actually get a second segment with him a little
later
on.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know if that was before.
No,
or after,
yeah, it's still a little bit. Renee Young is backstage with the Usos, and they're talking about it's the Day Ones versus the Hounds of Justice. But they get interrupted by Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin, and they mention how next week they're getting their tag title shot. So then Chad Gable decides to rap again, like he did a couple weeks ago. Now, while this one was better than
the first one was good too.
And Shelton was quite entertaining in this one.
Well, you could hear him in this one.
That is also true. Allow me to recite what Chad Gable said.
Okay.
When I say oos, you say no. Oos.
No.
Oos.
No.
When I say you gotta, you say go. You gotta.
Go.
You gotta.
Go.
When I say new, you say tag champs. New.
Tag champs.
New.
Tag champs.
Word. Yeah. Then Shelton running away with that, like, gif of the guy with his hands on his face. That sold it.
This whole thing was great. I don't know what planet you live on.
I know. This isn't entertaining. I don't like Chad Gable doing this.
Why?
It makes him sound so fake.
Are you saying that it should be Shelton Benjamin, and if so, why?
Why am I saying that Shelton Benjamin automatically has to rap?
I don't know. Why are you saying that?
I'm not. I don't have to rap at all.
But I think...
No rapping necessary.
Listen, Cena's gone, okay? We need someone to rap on this show.
We already have Aiden English singing on SmackDown. We have the Drifter serenading us on Raw.
No,
we already
Aiden English way better than the Drifter. Come on.
R-Truth once in a while shows up.
Oh, he's done.
What's up?
Yeah. He's old.
It's not necessary. It's not.
It is. It's fine.
It's
like
completely necessary.
We're finally seeing more of this guy's personality. He looks like he's having a good time. Did he ever look this, like he was having this good of a time when he was with, Jason Jordan?
In NXT.
I guess, kind of. But that was also when he was antagonizing him to be his partner.
Yeah.
That's when I feel like he was having a good time. By the way, since I wasn't here last week, how awesome was it him attacking Jason Jordan?
So cool.
Oh.
Oh, that was...
I just wish they had, like, that little second. But just like a second. Like, instead of him just sprinting at him, he should have just, like, kind of casual walk, hey, what's up, and then charge at him. Just, like, no, just that little second, just so everyone had time to like, comprehend, oh, they used to be tag partners, got it, boom.
No, but I like it better that he just ran at... Like, we already saw that earlier with the New Day and them being like, oh, Apollo, what's up? You know? I don't know, I thought it was awesome. They're finally letting this guy kind of loose a little bit and showing his personality. And, like, I feel like his nickname is going to be, like, the Pitbull kind of thing of, like, he's just, like, cagey and just, like, you know, going out of control. Mm. So, I don't know. I like it. More rapping by Chad Gable.
Please. 2/3 of this panel agrees. More rapping.
But one of us has the cuffs.
Yeah, but... There's two of us.
I'm arresting Chad Gable for impersonating a talented rapper. That's right.
Who do you consider a talented rapper?
There are many. There are many people I consider talented rappers.
Like R-Truth, John Cena.
Skee-Lo. Coolio.
Of course Coolio.
Mm-hmm. Lazy Bone. Just Lazy Bone, not the rest of Bone Thugs and Harmony, but just Lazy Bone.
He was pretty tight.
Yeah. K-Quick.
Completely different person from R-Truth. Different. He gets rowdy.
Three Count.
They didn't. Really
they were rap. They were from the streets.
Hmm. Bigger fan of Two Count myself.
Not the same. Just not the same.
I was like, I didn't know there was a Two Count.
Like, stick with me. Stick with me. There's a Two Count. Don't think too much about it.
Sumir versus AJ Styles. The real story in this match is A, Jinder wants to be known as the Beast Master.
Mm-hmm.
And B, after AJ Styles won the match in about 30 seconds, Jinder beat him down good. Like, he laid out AJ, hit a couple of the Coloss, a lot of really stiff kicks right in. Like, he looked like, hey, I'm pissed at you. I'm taking you out now. here's my revenge. Haha, you suck. I leave champion.
Boy, sorry, it wasn't a title match, though.
So. No. No, I'm aware it wasn't a title match.
Bradley Sprague in the chat. Titus O'Neil blocked me on Twitter, and I don't know why.
Welcome to the club. No, he hasn't blocked me yet, but I know what it's
somebody
like.
Somebody should go check.
I know. Yeah, actually, I haven't checked recently.
Yeah, but I mean, welcome to the club. Wrestling people.
I would hope. Sometimes. I would hope today, Tyler Breeze and Fandango follow me for my lock solid impersonation of Deputy Dango.
Send him a picture.
Do you want me to send him a picture?
Yeah, right now. Let's yeah.
I'm posing.
But I mean, I thought that it was a good beatdown by Jinder, which is good. Like it showed. Like, how is he going to get to that Lesnar level? That
he ain't.
I know, but I know, but we gotta at least like make it look like he can kind of, you know, last more than 30 seconds with this guy. You know, like I don't get what they're gonna kind of do to at least give him an advantage in this match. I mean, I feel like they'll do that thing they always do in a Lesnar match where like they go outside the ring and he goes to running him in the corner and he, you know, moves and he hits the post because that seems to be what they do in most Lesnar matches. So.
You're the commish. You should not be spoiling how the match is going to go.
I don't know how it's going to go. I'm busy with my own match.
Does Dana Jinder's White on his know own. How the matches are going to go?
Jinder's on his own. he called Lesnar out himself. I didn't tell him to do that.
That was ill-advised.
I didn't tell him to make that dumb mistake.
I don't think anyone advised him to make such a call out. I think that was all him.
Yeah. Kevin Owens is getting ready backstage. He's sitting with Sami Zayn. And they're talking about how Shane making himself captain is not a surprise. How is this the land of opportunity when all the opportunities go to Shane and his friends? Valid point. Mm-hmm. What kind of man wins with a low blow? Valid point. I will beat Nakamura tonight and then Shane will need us. And this is going to become the Kevin and Sammy show? No. This is going to become the Sammy and Kevin show.
Aww. Ah, bliss. This is so good.
Aw, bliss. Honeymoon phase, these two.
Yes.
I hope fresh this lasts love. A long time.
Hold me tight.
Hold me tight.
I mean, him just being like, he beat me with a low blow. Like, like so good. Like, Sammy's definitely transitioning into this.
Sammy's done so, such a better job than I thought he would with this.
Yeah.
Like, I'm loving him more and more every week. Mm-hmm. Now, on the other hand, the Bludgeon Brothers. There is only one cure for moral decay and for weakness, suffering, misery, vanquish, pain. We are the cure. Harper, Rowan, Bludgeon Brothers. Yeah. They forgot. They cut out the at the end.
Sure. Jokingly, I'll call them the Gallagher Brothers. Secondly,
I'm sure no one's used that yet.
Secondly, this promo is incredibly well shot.
Mm-hmm.
I really
the footage and stuff.
I
that's
really
all
buy these guys as like these backwoods dudes. Do not make them come out to the ring with the hammers.
They're gonna come. That's
where
happening.
You're gonna lose.
You know what's happening.
That's all. That's a gimmick.
Do you remember Kevin Thorne? What Kevin Thorne?
Mordecai.
Do you remember Mordecai? He came down to the ring with a giant scepter that had a massive like blade on it.
Yes.
Why wouldn't he just like use that?
Because
in the ring.
But you can't.
He's Mordecai. Who cares?
Why wouldn't the Legion of Doom use their giant spiked shoulder pads?
Because they were plastic spikes.
Dude. They looked sharp.
Yeah.
Kids thought they I thought they were sharp when I was a kid.
They could just throw them at you.
But
throw their shoulder
you could
pads
poke at someone in the eye with it.
But you know what I mean? This is why let your audience even think that? So similarly, like why have them come out to the ring with giant hammers? In a world that it's feasible for the wrestler to use hammers in the actual match, if they really don't care, I love them in the promos, but can they please not walk out to the ring?
I just want them to eventually be involved in a match where then another wrestler tries to grab it and they can't lift it because it's so heavy,
or because they're not worthy.
It's like Sword in the Stone type thing,
like Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they have to come out with the Bludgeon Brothers.
They have to.
But I also think if they, well, I don't wait. But you don't like it either.
I don't like the hammers. I hate the hammers. But I mean, I love their new outfits.
I love the hammers in the promo. I will hate them the second they come out to the ring with hammers. Or at the very least, a referee makes them leave the hammer. Well, no, because once again, like, you just get caught up in the logical fallacy that the referee, are they going to listen to the referee? They're heels. I'm sorry.
You don't know that. They could have Elvis build them and show up like Brodus Clay and be a Funkadactyl. You don't know.
Oh, they come out dancing. Dancing with the hammers? You go with that?
They get led to the ring by MC Hammer. This, yeah. Book it now.
Honestly, I shouldn't speak too much about this Gallagher Brothers joke. I wouldn't be shocked for them to make a turn to be a joke tag team and just be called the Hammer Brothers. MC Hammer plays them out to the ring, and they smash watermelons.
Nah.
I'd watch that team.
Nah.
And if it was those two in the ring, I'd watch that team.
I mean, so far, the promos have been good. I liked what they were kind of talking about this week, like, we're the Cure kind of thing. Like,
yeah.
I like that of, you know, seeing wherever that leads to. I don't know. I mean, I think the Hammers are going to be fine. I think if they, you know, can be destructive enough with them, then why not? Like, I mean, Triple H has a sledgehammer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I get he doesn't come into the ring with it all the time.
Yeah, and this is the roided up sledgehammer. Why does Harper and Rowan get the sledgehammers mommy and daddy?
They're massive. They're massive people. They need bigger sledgehammers than regular people.
And the two of them combined have more losses than Triple H has in his entire career.
True that.
Is that their fault? I don't think so.
No, that's not.
And as a team, I'm sure at some point they'll be relying on to actually draw a match. To draw a card.
Well, they have. I mean, they went against the Usos. They had some awesome matches before. Oh, yeah. So.
Rusev versus Big E. Loved this match. Great match between the two. We haven't had Big E really in a good lengthy singles match in a long time. This was a fun match. Good back and forth. Towards the end, Aiden English hops on the microphone, stands on the announce table trying to distract Big E. Then Xavier Woods comes over with his trombone and megaphone combined, because that's what Jimmy Hart would do, and is annoying English. English then jumps and pretty much takes out Xavier. Kofi comes down. They start arguing. Ref is distracted. Big E is distracted. Rusev is not distracted, kicks Big E in the back of the head, pins him. It is Rusev Day.
Happy Rusev Day.
Yeah, happy Rusev Day.
How many Rusev Days are there, though?
365.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Except on a leap year.
You would think it would be 52 plus pay-per-views.
No, look at his Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Happy Rusev Day every day.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be order to how many Rusev Days there are.
Yeah, I think we have the order. I think the order is perfectly set as 365.
Yeah.
And once every 4 years, you have 366.
He's married to Lana. Every day is Happy Rusev Day.
Fair enough.
Case closed. Sin Cara in the back with Renee. Sin Cara getting some mic time. When was the last time you heard that sentence ever made?
No, never.
Yeah. He talked about how this mask is a part of me. When I put this mask on, I'm like a superhero to my children. That was the most disrespectful thing you could do to a luchador. I went through hell to get this, and I'll go through hell to keep it. I'll tell you what.
Mystico went through hell.
Okay. Boo to that.
Sorry.
No, I will say this. I know the last few weeks we've been joking about Sin Cara, but this promo made me feel a little invested in him.
Mm-hmm.
I thought this promo was well done. It was the right amount of time. We heard him very clearly through the mask. He brought up what his significance. I love the line about having it relate to his children and that he feels like he's the superhero to them when he's in this mask. So he's like a larger than life person. And when he's not there, he's just dad.
Mm.
I enjoyed that. Now it makes me want to root for Sin Cara, even though I know whenever that title match is going to happen, he ain't going to win it.
Mm. But I think it'll be a good match, though. Like I think they're both like. Sin Cara is capable of putting on good matches.
Yes, he is.
We just haven't given him the chance to do it. So I think once they do have that, I like somebody wrote up there, hair versus mask match. I like that.
Corbin is pretty thin up front.
Yeah, I know. I know. He needs a haircut.
But so if that match happens, you actually think that Sin Cara would win that match?
It was hair versus mask? Yeah.
Oh,
more so than the U.S. title.
Do you think they're going to take the mask off? Like, he just talked about how the mask is so important to him. They're not going to take the...
More reason for the shock of it happening.
No. How many guys have masks?
Baron Corbin will not look good bald.
He'll be fine.
Everyone looks good bald.
Yeah. He'll get the Kurt Angle look and be fine.
Do they?
Once we get used to it?
Do they commish?
What do you mean?
are you trying to make him say he doesn't look like?
Yeah. I look fine.
I don't know what you're going at.
When Tom's hair is cut really short, he looks fine. Okay. When it grows out a little bit, it doesn't look good.
Gotcha.
Like Corbin.
Gotcha.
You want me to grow my hair long like Corbin? No. I would look so ridiculous.
I would be curious.
I'd be curious too, but I don't have the time to do that. So.
Shane is backstage on his cell phone because that's what commissioners and general managers do.
With that weird, weird face.
Yep. Just that concerned look at what they're viewing. Mm-hmm. At, you know, he was probably sitting there watching Miz's promo. He's like, oh, Baron Corbin doesn't stand a chance. Aiden English and Rusev come in. Rusev yells at the top of his lungs that it's Rusev Day. And he put a big L in Big E's win-loss column. Mm-hmm. How about you put me on that SmackDown team? And Shane says, if you want to be on Team SmackDown, whoever wins your match next week will be on the team. All you got to do is defeat AJ Styles. And then Shane sings good luck. Mm-hmm. I am really excited for that match next week.
Yeah. Next week's going to be good.
Rusev and AJ is going to be a really good match.
Tag match next week.
Tag titles, yep.
I mean, and the pairing of him and English
works. I love
works.
It. I love it
just it. Works. I'm shocked how well it works, but it just does. And
the pairing makes zero sense. They're completely different characters from each other. Uh-huh. But they work off each other so well.
Mm. Do you think next week we see, like, either, like you said, either...
I think we'll see English and Xavier in a match, too.
No, but I meant more of in the AJ match. Do you see Xavier or English interfering to try to help Rusev?
I can see English getting thrown out, and then Jinder's going to cost AJ the match.
Mm. That's what you think.
And it'll be Rusev Day at Survivor Series.
Which I'm not opposed to. I don't care whoever makes it.
But even
I'm
Rusev,
happy either way.
Even if Rusev didn't make it, wouldn't it still be Rusev Day? I'm really trying to clarify the rules.
Yes, but it's an even bigger Rusev. It's a bigger Rusev Day than the others.
Also, I just Googled it because I was curious. Hunico, who is Sin Cara Al-Zul.
Never. I have no idea who Hunico is. It's all Sin Cara.
Beat Sin Cara Negro in Mexico City, which aired October 21st, 2011. So he is the official holder of that mask. I kind of misspoke by saying he wasn't. Anyway.
All right. Steve just corrected himself and no one noticed.
Exactly. Welcome to my mind.
Yep. Well, speaking of messed up minds, let's go to Stranger Things. Mm-hmm. We're looking at, it's called The Right Side Up. Mornings are for coffee and newspapers. He puts Eggos down with a hand reaching out. These are all Stranger Things references, which I have not watched yet.
Oh, man, come on.
You can't watch all the TV.
Do you watch it?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I didn't watch the second season yet.
Okay. But. So, they have the references. I know Eggo Waffles and the crazy blonde girl who loves them. I know that.
11, yeah. I think.
Yeah. Her
I think
name her is name's 11. 11
yes. I think her name's 11.
Okay. Yes, it is.
So Breeze walks in because Fandango thought that was Breeze down grabbing the Eggos. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, it's probably the Ascension because they ruin everything. Out comes Victor. Holding a Trapper Keeper. I know he's dressed up as one of the characters.
Beth,
I know that.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know which one. I'm sorry.
Jeez.
I have too much wrestling to watch. I don't have time for Stranger
SmackDown
Things.
After SmackDown was over, you didn't have time to watch a whole season of Stranger Things?
No, shockingly, no. Then Ty Dillinger is the one who comes out from under with the Eggos and says, I'm not 11. I'm a 10.
I thought that was great.
I'm glad. That was funny. It was a good cameo. Then Connor shows up dressed up as Kane. They all felt where I was under siege. They started trying to beat him up. And he's like, this is my Halloween costume. Breeze, I told you it would be. Why'd you let him beat me up? And he's like, yeah, it was funny. Then the lights go out, except for some Christmas lights that are around the Bludgeon Brothers. The lights come back on, and there's this monitor that shows someone in a mask saying, let the games begin. Now, was that a reference to Stranger Things, or was that Saw?
That's Saw.
Okay. That's what I thought.
That's like Jigsaw. I guess next week is Saw.
Okay.
Yeah, right? Because, I mean, there's a Saw movie.
Yeah, there's a Jigsaw movie.
Right?
Oh, there was another one that came out?
Yeah. It's called Jigsaw. Yeah, I was literally looking at movie time.
How many of those movies have been
a lot? Like, this is six or seven. Yeah. There have been a lot of Saw movies.
But I think
movies.
This is like an origin movie of him.
Okay. I'm going to watch this movie. I was checking movie times tonight.
But yeah, so I guess now that to do it. I mean, I like that they're changing it up every week. But at least, I mean, this one at least kind of something happened, which I think... will be cool because it'll be either them all kind of like trapped in some room,
mm-hmm.
you know, trying to find their way out or something.
You mean Saw 2, the best Saw?
I don't know if I saw Saw 2.
Saw 2 is the one where they're all in that house, and it was pretty encapsulated.
Saw 2,
the first
Saw's
one was
Revenge.
So messed up. So,
yeah. That's what Saw 2, Saw's Revenge. Mm. The Wrath of Saw. Saw you later.
Better call Saw 2.
Better call Saw 2.
So I don't know what it's going to be called, though, next week.
We'll figure it
out. Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't say it, but...
Well, because Jigsaw...
Maybe because they haven't figured out what they're naming yet.
Well, because Jigsaw is the new movie, so they can get away with, like...
Jigsaw Puzzle?
Yeah. Something like that.
Something. Yeah, they'll figure something out. They're pretty creative.
We don't get paid to work there, so that's fine. you guys figure it out.
Main event, Kevin Owens versus Nakamura. Great match, as we'd always expect with these two. Towards the end of the match, Sami Zayn comes out to try to distract Nakamura. Nakamura goes for the Kinshasa, but Sami pulls Kevin out of the ring. And meanwhile, Kevin gets back in control, tells Zayn to start clearing the announce table, which starts doing the Randy Orton's music hits. And they're looking for Randy Orton to come down the aisle. Instead, Orton comes through the crowd, grabs Zayn, gives him his backdrop onto the announce table. This distracts Owens, turns around, Nakamura decks him, hits the Kinshasa. Nakamura gets added to Team SmackDown as SmackDown goes off the air. So right now, Team SmackDown, we have Shane, Orton, Nakamura, and Bobby Roode.
Good team.
It's a pretty good team.
It's a solid team.
We got one more to be added, which will be the winner of AJ and Rusev.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with that team.
Me too.
Bring it Raw.
Yeah.
That's right.
I'm okay with that team.
That's right, Quasto. I know you're hidden there under that Steve Kaufman disguise. Bring it.
I'm actually Quasto as Gabby, as Shinsuke Nakamura, as Mark Danica, as Steve.
This team, but two.
It's a little extreme.
Yeah.
It's a little extreme, Dale Rutledge.
Hey, we're going to talk about people that got
we got a few minutes left, so we got to get into some news. Now, AfterBuzz TV news. Now, none of these really affected SmackDown per se, but obviously it's a big story going in wrestling this last few days of the surprising releases of Summer Rae, Darren Young, and especially of Emma, who we just saw have a maybe 10 to 12 minute match with Asuka's main roster debut at TLC.
And on Raw the next night.
All three released. What do we think? Are we shocked about all of them? Are we shocked about a couple of them?
I'm not shocked about Darren Young, because they have not used Darren Young in a long time. It's unfortunate that they used him on the Clippers night, literally the night before.
The night before, he did a big thing out in LA for the Clippers with Miz, Enzo, and Becky Lynch.
Yeah, like, and then they caught him.
Did
which
he live here?
I think he does live.
He probably does.
Yeah.
But that's still unfortunate.
Mm.
Especially if they didn't tell him that night or that day.
Yeah.
Well, I think he found out the next morning.
He was hurt for a long time, and just like a few weeks ago was medically cleared to come back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those things where, you know, they can't fire someone when they're hurt.
Mm.
So to me, this one was set up for a while, and they were just kind of waiting where it's legal to do it. Summer Rae, similar situation. She had the, was it a back or a neck?
Yeah, I think it was a back, and I think it was both back and neck.
Yeah.
Because she's been, like, you know, out since most of the, I don't mean,
she's been out for almost a year.
I think she was out even before the draft. Like, the original draft.
She might have been.
I think so. She's been gone for a long time.
This one isn't, that one's not much a surprise to most people. The thing that everyone forgets is she was really the anchor to help both Charlotte and Sasha learn how to be heels and talk on NXT.
Yeah.
It was that group that was led by Summer.
Mm-hmm.
So she was a big part of
Like the BFFs or something.
BFFs.
Like that?
Yeah. BFFs. So she was a major, major component in the early development in Sasha and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I buy that. The women's revolution in general. It's unfortunate, but they haven't used her on TV in a while. Like when they did, it wasn't the best stuff.
Mm.
That didn't shock me. Emma.
Yeah.
Emma by itself doesn't shock me. What does shock me is that they used her Sunday and Monday, and used her in such a fashion that a lot of us on the internet did not speak highly of the fact that Asuka had to go 5 to 10 minutes in a match with Emma. Not to discount
Emma. I like the fact that it went that length, because I said I was tweeting how, like, it made Emma still look like a formidable opponent, still made Asuka look like a dominant force that she is on the way she took her out at the end. But then if they were just immediately going to release her, then, yeah, Oscar should have just destroyed
her. Squashed her twice.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, And it would have fit Emma's character if, like, I'll go down for saying this. I think if you wanted Asuka to squash Emma on Sunday night, you can do that and then have her tweet to the moon, I wasn't ready, and then have it happen the next night, that maybe they have the match the next night.
Yeah.
Either way,
Emma started trending.
Yeah.
Either way, they clearly didn't plan on releasing Emma until pretty close to two days ago when they actually released her, or they would have had her squashed. Mm.
I mean, I think it's like, out of all the three, yeah, she's obviously the most shocking one. And if you look at her and just, she can wrestle. She's a beautiful girl. Like, mm-hmm. she has everything that they want. She can talk. She has attitude. She has everything to be a champion in WWE. So, I mean,
I think that's the biggest injustice, the fact that she never won any title, NXT or WWE.
Exactly. Like, and I mean, I also feel like if she was on SmackDown, she would have benefited way more of everything going on SmackDown than she did at all on Raw. Like, I think it was just like nothing she did on Raw ever was good, like worked, or was just,
which is unfortunate because everything she did on NXT worked.
Exactly.
But, and
because they call her up. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work.
Yeah.
Bring her back down. She becomes a huge, effective heel down on SmackDown.
You mean on NXT?
But, down on NXT, and they bring her back up to Raw, and then they just ignore it.
Well, like, the chat world brings up a valid point. You got to think, because we got Peyton Royce and Billy Kay pretty much ready any day now to come up. And like, instead of doing Australian, like, faction, it's like, oh, well, you don't want these guys to be Australian, this to be Australian, this to be Australian. You know, oh, maybe, well, these, we have more faith in this than we do in that.
I don't know.
I'm just throwing a random thought there.
They should have put them as a group, and they should have just been dominating Raw or SmackDown, whatever show they were on. That's how they could have built the whole storyline of Emma getting to the belt. Like, I think they missed all this, and like, I think she's gonna leave, go somewhere else, make a name for herself again, and I feel like she'll be back. Because I think she's going to not be able to be denied next, you know, when she comes back again.
I'm calling it now, hot take. Mm. She's going to have a 5-star match with Toni Storm.
Mm. On the indie scene?
On the indie scene, 5-star match.
All right.
She'll be back by next year.
We want to hear what you guys think of all that, so you can make sure you leave comments on the iTunes page as well as the YouTube. And, of course, you can talk to us on various forms of social media. I got to be honest, Markia, you really fooled us that entire time with that costume. So well done. Well done. How can people reach out to you?
Oh, you guys can find me on Twitter at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANN. I do a lot of shows here at AfterBuzz TV. I tweet about them regularly. You can also go to thesoberyear.com. It's a blog I do.
Why are you getting Steve's?
Yeah, Markia, why are you giving Steve's social media?
I'm selling it, guys.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at TomTheCom.
And you all better, or else I'm going to find each and every one of you and cuff you for some odd reason, because I got one pair of handcuffs. I'm going to use them on all of you. Twitter, at Will Rosenberg. Instagram, The Will Rosenberg. ProWrestlingTees.com/Christian Rosenberg. Got a new shirt up. Go check it out. Also, CollarAndElbowBrand.com. Use promo code Rosenberg to save 10% off your order. And for all your other AfterBuzz TV news and gossip, follow them on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV. Thanks so much for tuning in for, I think, Steve Kaufman. And I think Tom Connolly.
Nope, Shane McMahon here.
All right, I'm kind of Christian Rosenberg, and we'll see you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.